It's not just a home or a car. It's the 6 months you've saved for the Ultra HD flat screen and the overtime you worked for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or a combo, State Farm agent Tony Hoagland sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Tony understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin for your home and auto insurance today. That's ChamplinInsurance.com.
You grew up waiting for that moment and for it to possibly happen soon. It's exciting and you kind of wait for it.
Is the NHL trolling the New York Rangers? We dive into the saga that is the NHL versus New York versus Tom Wilson. Plus, is Matt Boldy ready for a call-up? He makes his case as we check in with the current Iowa Wild forward. Oh yeah, and more Kirill Kaprizov talk too. Presented by SodaStick, brought to you by Jim Beam, Better Edge, and State Farm Insurance agent Tony Hoagland. This is episode 72.
Gear up with the hottest merch in the state, courtesy of SodaStick.com. Snag a throwback Tony Oliva hitting school tee to celebrate baseball season, or keep the hockey vibes year-round with a plethora of on-ice merch. Be sure you're staying tuned to our social channels for a chance at a $50 SodaStick gift card giveaway. Bar Down Beauties at checkout will always get you that free shipping. Happy shopping.
At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition, like chanting Let's Play Hockey prior to the start of each game, or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with the bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Remember, drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, copyright 2021, James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
Hello, everybody. We're back. Episode 72 presented by SodaStick. We've got Jim Beam, Better Edge, State Farm Insurance, Tony Hoagland, and we have Alexis and Jesse. Fred, we also fired him again this week. Just kidding. I don't feel like that bit will
ever not
be funny to me.
The joke never gets old. Whenever one of us is not on the podcast, you have to say that person got fired. It's just, that's the rule.
It's just the rules. That's how it goes. That's what we're doing. No, Fred's got other stuff to do. Whatever. It's fine. Alexis and I can handle this. We got this. Alexis, how you doing? What's going on?
I'm good. It's Friday. The sun is out. I know it's a little chillier than what we would like this time of year, but I was pleased to see the sun was out today and it's Wild game day. So, I mean, it's a good day ahead of us that we've got here.
Wild game day. Minnesota closes out their regular season at home, welcoming the Anaheim Ducks, who are not good, guys. Just going to flat out say it, not good. I do want to address that, though. So David Backes has not officially announced retirement. He's a Spring Lake Park native, Minnesota State University alumni, and just an all around good dude, right? I mean, he's just a great guy. So he hasn't announced retirement, but it's kind of pretty inevitable that he's going to, and he hasn't really played a whole lot in Anaheim. He got a very nice like farewell in St. Louis, obviously a longtime captain there in St. Louis, drafted him, played a lot of his career, the prime of his career for the Blues, coming back home to kind of close out the year. And David Backes isn't in the lineup, Alexis. Do you think that's kind of like a savage move by Anaheim Ducks, Dallas Eakins? I mean, the team's not exactly working to get into the playoffs at this point.
I mean, that was literally the word that I was going to use, is savage, because I don't know, is the NHL, like, what is the NHL doing this week? Like everything that the NHL has done this last week, which we'll get into that too, because we all know, you guys all know what I'm talking
about.
You
know, you want it. You know, you want that.
It has just been a mess this week. And I don't understand the move to not play him, because you're not making the playoffs. Okay. You're not even that good this year. Like, no offense. Like it happens to everybody.
And there's not a nicer way to say that. You're just, you're not any good.
So it's not like, oh shoot, you know, like we just missed the playoffs and like, we still want to give our star players a chance to like, you know, maybe pick up some points here, pad their stats, whatever. That's not the case. Like, why are you not letting David Backes play? Like you said, like good dude, you know, given a lot to the teams that he's played for.
We toss him on the fourth line for a couple minutes, right? Yes. You don't have to start him like they did in St. Louis.
No.
But put him on a line for a little bit, have his family able to purchase tickets for this game this weekend. At least one of the games. And maybe Dallas will change his mind, because as I tweeted out, there was quite a lot of anger from fans. So maybe if Dallas reads those and he's like, ah, shit, I should put put David in.
David Backus was literally like in tears in the postgame interview the other night. Like, you're telling, like, you can't tell me that you're like, oh, we don't know if he's going to retire. Like, he probably is. Like, just probably let him play.
Let him play. Maybe, like, and maybe David had a say in this, right? Maybe he wasn't feeling super up to it or whatever. Maybe there was like, that's the best hope. But yeah, I found that odd this morning. I was like all in there on the pregame call with the coach, and he's like, nope, that's not in the plans. Like, oh,
I mean, if it was David's choice though, if I'm Dallas Eakins, I'm going to say that I'm going to say, you know what? I talked with David and he doesn't want to, you know, maybe he's dealing with some kind of undisclosed injury or whatever it is. Like, then I would just say that as a coach, because otherwise you're going to look like an asshole and we're going to talk about you on the podcast and we're going to be like, what are you doing? So just
going to call you savage, call you a dickweed, call you whatever we want to, because,
run through the whole list. Yeah.
I will say, somebody did tweet at me in regard to when Backus got in, he started that game in St. Louis. And again, obviously a very emotional thing. If you guys haven't checked it out, very, very cool what St. Louis did for him. But Backus had told Jeremy Rutherford of The Athletic that he'd be remiss if he didn't thank Anaheim captain Ryan Getzlaf for him being in the Ducks lineup that night. He goes to bat in these situations, really pulling all the strings he can, a great leader and a guy that I'm proud to have as a teammate. So that's really cool. So maybe, Getz kind of used his one card in that moment, right? God, see, I love Ryan Getzlaf. I told you he's the best. He's just the greatest guy ever. So maybe that's why too, but who knows? We'll see. Things could change. Watch. So he'll probably play tomorrow. He'll probably score tomorrow. Be great.
Of course. He's going to have like a hat trick, the game winning goal against the Wild. And then this is going to come out on Monday and everyone's going to be like, do these girls know anything that they're talking about? Really?
Never, never. In Russia, they think we do. So shout out to you guys. That's again, all that matters. Continue to believe in us females talking hockey. Speaking of other hockey storylines before we dive into awesome Minnesota Wild stuff, the New York Rangers, it's a dumpster fire in New York and original six. I mean, you loop in Tom Wilson and the Washington Capitals. And if you guys haven't heard, which I don't know how you haven't at all, there was a Tom Wilson hit. He ends up taking Panarin out. No suspension for Tom Wilson, who has been this kind of player his entire career. He's simply fined. So then obviously
$5,000,
$5,000, which is a drop in the hat. He has a very lucrative contract.
That's like me throwing a quarter out my window. That's the equivalent of that.
I mean,
like,
I would scoop up that quarter. That's just where I'm at in my life though. That's just totally me. But no, so that happened on a Monday night, ensuing melee on Wednesday, because these teams face each other again, because we're in a series situation from the drop of the puck. I want to say a lot of minutes.
Line brawl off the early face off.
And then Tom Wilson ends up getting hurt in the situation. And prior to this, New York released a statement basically calling out
a horrible act of violence
because Panarin's out now as a result of this fight. Call out George Parros, who is head of player safety, in a very public statement. So then you go to Wednesday, then there's a fight, and then Tom Wilson gets hurt, and then one of New York
even
Rangers,
before Wednesday, they fired their GM and president.
Oh, they fired their that happened too. Stay with us, guys. There's a lot.
The timeline is so messed up.
It's so crazy. And then after the Wednesday night fight, one of the New York Rangers players gets suspended for a game for an act of violence, I guess I'll say. Yes. And then
the Rangers,
and then also the
$200,000
the NHL throws another $250,000 fine at the Rangers for their prior public statement that they made on like Tuesday. Woo,
thank
buddy.
You,
I mean, I'm here for this drama. Yeah. I haven't even had to watch Real Housewives of New York all week because this has been my Real Housewives of New York.
It is literally like the biggest mess. It is a Gawker slowdown is what I feel like. Like, I can't stop paying attention to what is happening. And like, we all know Tom Wilson. We know that he does this kind of stuff. We know he's gotten in trouble for it. We also know he's gotten away with a lot of stuff like this over time. Like, this is what Tom Wilson is known for. He gets under people's skins because he can also score goals, and they don't like that he is that kind of player, that he beats people up but also scores goals. And it's just like, he takes it to the extreme. Like, Tom Wilson is known for this. And so that initial thing that happened, it was like, there goes Tom Wilson. People were, this is such a mess. People were on Twitter saying that Tom Wilson should go to jail. I'm like,
The Washington Capitals also did a very poorly timed tweet, not to attack social media folk, but they did one where it was like, Tom Wilson chooses violence, which probably wasn't the right time when everybody was very upset about this. The Caps doubled down. They ended up deleting deleting the tweet, but
probably the right move. Yeah. Like, we love our social media people. We know a lot of the stuff that they have to put out there is often out of their hands, made above them. Sometimes it's a team of people doing it, but not a great tweet to put out at the time. No. Probably a good choice that they deleted it. But it was just a mess from the start. And then you knew that that next game was going to be an absolute circus. Like, there was no way that that game could have gone down.
The dust could
normal.
Never settle. No. Like, it was like, you know that this is just going to start up again.
And it was just, and then the whole, the way that the league handled it, and I'm not trying to call out the league like some people have been doing, saying like George Parros needs to be fired and what Gary Bettman is defending him and all this stuff is happening. Like, I get it. There's decisions that need to get made, and sometimes you don't make the right ones. And I don't know what that meeting looks like when they make these decisions, but I will say this. You find Tom Wilson only $5,000, and then the Rangers put out a statement and you give them a $250,000 fine. And then you suspend Pavel Buchnevich for a game and you don't do anything to Tom Wilson. Just the dynamic of everything that happened is a little messed up. And I just think that there needed to be, it needed to be spread out a little bit more evenly, because I think both parties were to blame in certain things, whether it was physical stuff that was happening, social media stuff that was happening. There was a lot of fingers being pointed in a lot of different directions, and I get it's a big mess, but I think the NHL could have maybe done a little better. And I know they're probably trying to do damage control. It's the meme of the dog sitting in the fire and they're saying everything is fine. That was probably the NHL this week and the player safety department. But it was a mess. And I don't think this is the end. I at this point wish the Rangers would have made the playoffs, because I want a Capitals Rangers playoff series, but that's not going to happen. So.
No, I mean, I think the only, like, you're absolutely right, Alexis. It's on both teams. It's on both sides. It's nobody, you know, nobody is one better than the other. And I think the surprise and shock of Tom Wilson not getting suspension comes because he's had so many priors and this has kind of been his way. I mean, you go back to Kevin Fiala, who was suspended 3 games for a boarding hit for sure. And it was a dangerous hit, but it was an accident, and he has never had anything on his record, and he gets a 3-game suspension in a shortened season, for crying out loud. So it's almost like my criticism, which has always kind of followed, is just on the consistency of the DPS and like how they're making some of these calls. And again, they're doing the best they can. You're always going to be pissed off. You're not going to be happy, just like with officiating night in and night out. But that would be my one thing. It's like, you got to figure out how to be more consistent. And I think,
Well, I was just going to say, he got this 1-game suspension for a cross check. It's like, okay.
I mean, it was to the guy's face. So like, I get it.
Yes. But I will say that, and people who know me know that I'm a proponent of fighting in hockey. I don't think it should go away. I am here for that aggressive, you know, aspect to hockey. I think it's important to the game, but there are still limits to that. Okay. Like, I am not for violence. I am for physicality. I am for fighting still. And I know there's a lot of people who want to get away from that. And I don't think that's the right way to go. That's just my opinion. I know a lot of people will disagree with me, but I do think that what Tom Wilson did in this situation with his priors, with kind of the, you know, the fact that he, you know, there's injuries now that became because of it. I think they needed to make a different decision. And then you go and you suspend Buchnevich for a game. It's like, okay, now you guys just look like a bunch of clowns making this decision. I mean, it's literally a circus.
It was pouring gasoline on a fire that was already out of control, but it was like, let's just top it off. I think one of the more interesting takes or reads that I had on this was, I believe it was Scott Burnside, possibly somebody with The Athletic, and they had spoken with some anonymous GMs and other player executives. And one GM had said it very blatantly. He's like, every single one of the NHL teams would call on Tom Wilson if he was available. You can say, he's like, there's probably 5 or 6 that would say, no, we didn't talk to him, because he has kind of that aura, but everybody wants a Tom Wilson on their team. And like you had mentioned at the beginning, Alexis, Duke can play too. Like, he's not just out there being a goon. He's not like a Matt Cook, right? Who I found just to be very goonish.
Or Todd Bertuzzi. Well, I guess Todd Bertuzzi could score too, but he took it to the extreme.
Exactly. And I think Tom Wilson certainly has more to his game, which is why it's always kind of like a bummer to see that he goes to this all the freaking time.
It's like, you can have that aspect to your game. You can still be that player, but you can do it at a level that still is keeping your opponent safe. It is sad, because, you know, you, and I know, you know, who knows what else is going on in his head that causes him to do these kind of things. And maybe this is a bigger issue to look at as to why players like this go to that level of violence. It is a bigger mm-hmm. issue. Exactly. But the way that everything went down this week, from, like I said, from the social media to the actual gameplay to the decisions the NHL made, there was a lot of things that happened that I have a lot of questions about, because I just think it could have been handled a little bit differently. And like I said, who knows how long this timeline is going to go. I mean, what is this going to look like next season between these two teams? Is this going to be mm-hmm. a thing that just brews forever? I mean, it just because Probably. That game ended, I don't think this is over. So
no, absolutely not. We'll actually talk more about this saga as we got a couple of questions in our Cues with the Buttes exclusive. So pop on over to our next video on YouTube and give that a check as we dive into the player safety and players association situation yeah. the best that we can. But yeah, Alexis, I am willing to bet that this carries over into next year. I might place that bet on betteredge.com. Again, that's BETTOR edge.com, a very fun new social sports betting exchange where you can create orders. As I continuously mentioned, I'm going to get more involved come the playoffs. You can play against me. We can have little competitions. You can play against your friends, and obviously more than hockey, but hockey's the most fun. So go grab a free $10 using code Buttes, BEAUTS, when you sign up at Better Edge. That's Better Edge, BETTOR edge.com. I'm also willing to bet, Alexis, that more and more people are looking at the Minnesota Wild as a Stanley Cup contender.
Oh, yeah.
Today, again, Dallas Eakin saying Minnesota is the team that he would least want to face in the playoffs.
That's
right
the
now.
Tea.
That
Tell
is
him,
just, he did say, he's like, everyone sees the flashiness yep. of Vegas and Colorado. And that's not quite Minnesota, right? I mean, they yep. certainly have those spurts. You've got that kid named Kirill Kaprizov who uh-huh. continues to do things, but, what do you make of that? I mean, it's kind of weird. I can't believe it. I can't believe when people are like, yeah, the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah.
They could do something.
I do think it's a good point, because you do, when you think of the teams you don't want to play in the playoffs and who do you think is most likely going to make it to the Stanley Cup final or win that Stanley Cup, you do think of those heavy contenders, those teams that have a whole line of stars, and like the Colorado Avalanche, and teams who can really just kind of grind you into the ground and score a lot of goals. And you look at teams like the Golden Knights and the Colorado Avalanche, to use two teams in the Wild's division this year as an example. But a lot of people forget about teams like the Minnesota Wild when it comes to the playoffs, who kind of can be sneaky, because you don't always think about them and you think, yeah, they're good. They've obviously made the playoffs for a reason, but you don't fear them as much as you fear some other teams. And I do think that teams like the Minnesota Wild this year tend to sneak in and kind of get those quote unquote upsets in the playoffs, just because teams aren't taking them as seriously as maybe some of those top contenders at those top two seeds or the team that wins the division, whatever it may be. I mean, even think about, like, I know by the time that the Blues won the Stanley Cup, they were playing the best hockey they'd ever played, but this drove me nuts when it happened, how many times they mentioned this, but they were last in the league on January 2nd. And then all of a sudden they're winning the Stanley Cup. It's like, you sometimes lose that all around aspect that a team has when you just focus on how many goals can they score. Well, there's so many other things that make a team win a playoff series. Think about, what was it, 2 years ago that the Blue Jackets swept the Bolts in the first round, and everyone was like, how did that even happen? Because
arguably the Wild are far better than the Blue Jackets were in that situation, but that was also Tampa Bay was phenomenal that they shouldn't have lost.
So you never know. And hockey, I think more than any other sport, you do see those upsets. And so I think mm-hmm. you have to pay more respect to those third and fourth place teams entering the playoffs and lower than that, to maybe make something happen. And I think that the Wild have really, even though, you know, they aren't on a 20 game win streak going into the playoffs, they've had their losses and they've done things wrong over the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, normally I go into the playoffs and I'm like, God, the playoffs again. I can't deal with the pain and the stress of this. Like, it's just going to be 4 or 5 games, boom, done. I'm going to be crying. And then next season is going to be here. I was thinking about it the other day and I'm like, you know what? I actually really feel confident in this Minnesota Wild team to, at the very least, even if they don't win a playoff series, which would be terrible and tragic, because I think they really can, to give a team a run for their money. And I think that whoever the Wild match up against, they're going to be in for it, because I think the Wild are really comfortable and confident with who they have on this team and the way that they're playing. And I anticipate that they're going to prove that come playoff time in a couple weeks.
Exactly. I mean, you had mentioned St. Louis, and it's funny because it's like Minnesota's literally right between how St. Louis plays, that very grinding, yep, where they will just work you to the bone and with that hard work and that ethic and that blue collar style, but they have a little bit more talent and skill, mm-hmm, with their youthfulness coming up, in not just Kaprizov, obviously. You still have, yeah, Kevin Fiala, Jule Eriksson having a hell of a season too. So, I mean, really they have all the good pieces in place to make it interesting. I don't see it being, I'm still so skeptical and so hesitant to ever say it's going to be a deep run, because I still think in the grand scheme, there are a couple pieces,
oh yeah,
away from a true, true contention. Cause I think you look out East and I'm like, no, I don't feel that the Wild match up very well against a lot of those Eastern, yeah, Conference teams. But nonetheless, I think it's not going to be a four and out. It's not going to be a clean sweep.
Yeah.
Fortunately for the Minnesota Wild, whether that is Colorado or Vegas that they play again, Minnesota still has an opportunity to leapfrog Colorado, mm-hmm, and get home ice advantage, which would be great. And you know, it certainly has more people paying attention. I want to draw attention to another person that was very on the Minnesota Wild bandwagon this morning, Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. He had, mm-hmm, there was an article he put out. I tweeted about it as well. It's the top things that they're rooting for in the 2021 playoffs. And at number 7, he has the Minnesota Wild. And here's what he had to say. The Wild's transformation into fun time goal scoring party team remains one of the most jarring in recent memory, given the franchise's reputation for, well, not emphasizing the offensive game all that much. That was pre Kirill Kaprizov, as the rookie winger is the favorite for the Calder Trophy. Favorite for the Calder Trophy, Dallas.
Louder for the Dallas fans.
Favorite for the Calder. And has helped the Wild to their highest goals per game average, 3.25, in franchise history in the shortened season. Minnesota has lost once in regulation since April 10th. We've all been anticipating a Godzilla vs. Kong battle between Vegas and Colorado for the West Division crown. And here comes the Wild acting like, spoiler alert, Mecha vs. Godzilla to interfere in that showdown. So, woo-woo, again, yeah, with the national attention. Very exciting. So I'm certainly a little bit more optimistic. Since we got into it, Kirill Kaprizov, let's talk about him again, because how can you have a hockey podcast in Minnesota without talking about him every, mm-hmm, single second? I'm literally tweeting out nuggets about him daily, because it's been very fun and very true. He continues to freaking impress me, Alexis. Like, I don't even know. I'm just shocked almost. Like, every day I'm like, oh, another thing that he can do really, yeah, well. It's just, it's unreal. Now his new thing is like, oh, I'm just going to score at the end of the game when it matters really, really a lot, and, yeah, to tie it or go into overtime or win it.
Yeah. I also would like to pitch to the Minnesota Twins that if they need a pinch hitter in extra innings, Kirill Kaprizov can bat things out of midair. And I'm sure that you would welcome his addition to the lineup, because the Twins suck in extra innings this year, quite literally suck. So yeah, that goal Kaprizov scored where he batted it out of midair was so impressive. That is really hard to do in the game of hockey, and you don't see it too often because it is so difficult to do. And so that was fun. And I mean, this is where, like, when I take like a sane view at the Calder race and I calm down and I'm not just mad at Dallas fans for being irrational, there's no reason you shouldn't vote for Kirill Kaprizov. There's no reason, yeah, he should not win the Calder. The kind of goals that he is scoring for the Minnesota Wild.
And again, with the players he's doing it, yes, with, right? Like, it's not what Jason Robertson has in Dallas.
Yeah. Who, yeah, by the way, Robertson now has Sagan back on his line. So exactly. Congrats to Robertson for getting another star player to play with for the rest of the season. Meanwhile, Kaprizov is still playing with Victor Rask. But yeah, I mean, he's scoring those big time goals that matter to the team, and every goal matters. Every assist matters. Like, it doesn't matter what point in the game it is. They're all important. But when you really break it down, Kirill Kaprizov single-handedly has gotten the Wild to some of these overtime games and gotten them some of these wins and made it a game when the Wild were maybe not playing their best. And you can't say the same for Jason Robertson. You just can't. And that to me is why Kaprizov, really, at this point, I'm like, there's no reason that you guys shouldn't be voting for him. There's no reason he shouldn't win the Calder. And it's just, I've started to see Robertson's name fade away into the abyss as Kirill Kaprizov has scored 10 goals in 10 games and all these exciting goals. And I'm seeing highlight reels from reporters for other teams and the NHL. And I'm like, ah, yes, all is right in the world. Robertson has faded off and Kirill Kaprizov is ready to win the Calder. So
goddamn right he is. He's prepared, you know, and I think Ian Cole had said it this morning, during our morning skate when talking about Kaprizov. Obviously Ian Cole has a Stanley Cup. He's played with Sidney Crosby, and he had said, you know, when his time in Pittsburgh, Crosby obviously had this knack for just being able to go seamlessly into the zone mm-hmm. and go into traffic and still keep the puck. And he said the same about Kirill. He's like, there's no doubt about it. He's one of the top 10 players that can do that. He can go into the zone and it's his puck, and he's not going to yep. give you the puck unless he doesn't want to have it anymore. If he wants you to have it, he'll have it. Yeah. He's like, but beyond just the talent, it's how hard he works. Like, I feel yeah. like maybe we haven't pointed that out enough, you know, because it does some, a lot of it seems so natural and so mm-hmm. effortless to him, but he is out there working all the time. He's, you know, he's trying different things. And again, even doing those fun moves or giving it a go. But he has this work ethic on top of talent, which is exactly what you want. Obviously you yeah. always want that. So pretty exciting to see, but a couple more games left. See if he can do it. I want to yeah. see, well, he's got what? He'll get 50 points for sure. He's at 46.
Yeah.
He could get 30 goals.
I think he's 47. At 47. Yeah.
47. Yep.
Yeah. He could get 30
goals.
Get
he's got
there.
26 goals now.
Yeah.
Let's see if he can do it.
I mean, I think just to round it out here before we head to our second segment, I think the biggest thing for me with Kirill Kaprizov that has impressed me, and a lot of things have impressed me, so this is saying a lot here, but this is across all sports. What do people always say? What do coaches always say? What do fans always say? You need your star players to shine when you need them the most.
Right.
If you're, you know, when your team is fighting, when your team is looking for that big play, that big moment, that big save, whatever it is, it's your star players who you need to step up and make those plays. And Kirill Kaprizov has shown that he is able to do that already in his rookie season. And that, I think, has impressed me the most, because it does take some time sometimes for players and athletes to mature into that phase of their athletic career. And Kirill Kaprizov in his rookie season is already impressing me in that aspect. And hopefully come playoff time, he's scoring some of those big goals too, because we're going to need them.
And, you know, maybe Mr. Matt Boldy could get in the mix. We'll see. We are going to chat with Matt Boldy, check in on him down in Iowa in our segment two. Before that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Want to rep some Bar Down Beauties merch? We've got you covered, literally. Whether you want to show that you're an official Butte or that you do not, in fact, support Chirping Duluth, we've got it all. So make sure you check out Bar Down Beauties on Teespring.
We're back. Joining us now, the man, the myth, the legend. Everybody is on hashtag Boldy Watch, Mr. Matt Boldy. Matt, it's been a while since our last chat. You've signed an entry-level contract with the Wild. You've recorded a goal and assist in your professional debut. Safe to say that things have been pretty good in life?
Yeah, things have been going good. It's been a crazy couple of weeks, but it's been awesome, so...
What has the biggest transition been for you from college into professional hockey in this AHL? I know it was probably quite a whirlwind. You went from the NCAA tournament to signing the contract to getting your way into Des Moines, Iowa there. But what's been the biggest transition, you'd say?
Yeah, I think probably the biggest transition is just the pace of play and kind of getting used to that. I mean, I'm sure that's kind of everyone's biggest transition, but just that little difference, that 1 second that things happen quicker and stuff like that out there. It was definitely a little tough the first few times I was skating, but just finding other ways and different ways to score and produce and play at the level that I was at Boston College.
Did that surprise you at all? I mean, I'm sure everyone goes into it knowing it's going to be a different game, and you hear that, hey, it is quicker, it's a little bit harder, but sometimes maybe you don't believe it until you see it. Was it a little bit of a shock to you that, like, oh, shit, these guys are right, this is a little bit different?
Yeah, I think talking to a lot of people before I even got here, just having their thoughts and people have gone through it and played here, I think that helped me a lot. Like you said, you kind of know going in that's going to be a big jump, and I think that's what helped me, just kind of having in the back of my head that I know it's going to be harder, I know it's going to be different and stuff like that. So having that mindset rather than going in and thinking it's going to be the same, I think definitely helped me.
Well, and you knew that the contract signing was coming, but still, the moment that it actually happens, it's got to be a pretty good feeling. What was that day like for you? And did you get to celebrate at all with family, friends, finally putting the quote unquote pen to paper and making it official?
Yeah, it was a pretty crazy day. A lot of phone calls and stuff like that. But once it finally got done, it was unbelievable. It's a huge dream, huge goal accomplished and stuff like that. And I actually signed it at school, so I wasn't with my family or anything, but I was with a few of the guys and my roommates and stuff like that. So it was pretty special to share that moment with them.
And, you know, a lot of those guys, Alex Newhook now making his NHL debut. And as we've mentioned before with Trevor Zegras and Cole Caulfield, and you're seeing these guys that you know, you've played with, you're, you know, one in the same. How much fun has that been to see them take those next steps, and how eager does it make you to get that call up and make your next step?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I think seeing all those guys that I call my best friends, just people I've grown with so much in the last few years playing with and against and stuff. So seeing them get to that level and achieve that goal and play in the first game and guys scoring their first goals and getting their first points and stuff like that, you have to be happy for them. It's awesome seeing those guys do well and talking to them about it and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, definitely it makes me a little excited and stuff like that, but I'm just kind of waiting for my time. I think that's the biggest thing that people have kind of talked to me about, just not getting caught up in those people. Everyone's on their own timetable and stuff like that. And when it comes, it's going to come. And that's kind of where my mindset's at with it. But I'm definitely looking forward to when that time comes. And like I said before, I'm super happy for those guys that are playing in the NHL now and really doing well.
I know you're certainly not one to rush your development. That's a product of USA Hockey. And I know the Iowa Wild Guides, Bill Guerin, has said he's not wanting to rush your development at all and get you up here before you're ready. But the fans would like to rush your development and get you up here. How interesting is it to see hashtag Boldy Watch, or how eager the fans are and how badly they really want to see you in a Minnesota Wild jersey before the regular season concludes, or at least in the playoffs? Is that got to be kind of crazy to watch?
Yeah, it's definitely pretty cool. I think try to stay away from that stuff as much as I can, but it's definitely pretty cool getting some of that stuff sent to me by friends and family and seeing that, and just kind of speaks a lot to all that the fan base that they have there and how much they love the Wild, and that's exciting to possibly be a part of, and hopefully sooner than later. But just knowing that they have that fan base that cares so much and that they're so dedicated and they love the Wild so much, it's pretty cool.
I'm sure you're always working with Bombardier and Matt Hendricks and everybody in Iowa, but do you have conversations or check-ins at all with Bill Guerin to see what the big boys up here in St. Paul have been keeping an eye on with you, or how does that process all kind of work?
A little bit. I think it kind of goes through everyone, just talking to everyone really. But I mean, it's nothing crazy. I think like I said, I mean, they know what they're doing. They've been through this so many times. So when they think I'm ready, then that's kind of my time. So I'm not really too stressed out about it. Just kind of waiting for them to make that decision. And I mean, they're going to do what's best for me. So.
Well, it's kind of funny because you think about this happening, signing your first pro contract, getting to play some AHL games here and maybe playing some NHL games before it's all said and done, before the season is all said and done. But this is the cherry on top of the last year. You've really gotten to do a lot of exciting things in your hockey career, from World Juniors to the NCAA tournament to signing that contract to playing in those pro games. Have you had a chance to really like take it all in and realize how many things you've probably checked off of your hockey to-do list in the last year?
Yeah, it's been a busy year. I think with COVID going on, everything, hockey's been kind of all that there's been to worry about, to be honest. So it's been awesome. Like you said, a lot of goals accomplished and stuff that you've set like down the road growing up and stuff like that, and winning World Juniors, against a national tournament. I wish we could have won a couple more games and kind of came home with a national championship and stuff like that. But definitely a lot of accomplishments and stuff like that, but yeah, I've definitely looked back at it a little as much as I can and kind of realized how fortunate I am and stuff like that. So
not to keep that sour taste, but I do want to talk about the national tournament, because you guys were primed to win it all. I mean, if the Minnesota teams didn't succeed, which they didn't, so you could feel, you know, we're bitter about it as well. Mm-hmm. You know, what would you say kind of happened there? What was that like? And how much did that influence your decision as to whether to sign your contract or return back to school?
Yeah, I mean, we ran into a really good St. Cloud team. We knew that wasn't going to be an easy game, and they came out and they played hard and we got the early lead and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, they're a good team. Once they got the lead, they hung on to it and played well. And there wasn't really much we could do. I thought we played well, and the group we had, we definitely had the ability to go a little bit further and possibly win. But that thought of not really winning that trophy or some of the other trophies that we had chances at definitely made the decision, I think, a little bit harder. You said we lost the bean pot my freshman year, and then we didn't get a bean pot this year. Just all stuff like that. So definitely made a decision a little bit harder, but looking at it, I mean, I think I made the right decision and what's going to be best for me in the long term. And that's kind of where my decision came from.
I didn't want to mention this until we had you on the interview, but Alexis is actually a Husky. So I'm really, really sorry about that.
I am a Husky. I'm sorry, Matt. But they failed me ultimately too. So I guess we both got the short of the stick on that one. I was going to ask you, you know, we talked about some of these hockey changes that you've gone through and these advancements you've made in your career. But what about just your personal life moving to Des Moines? We kind of were joking around before we started recording that Des Moines is always gets pegged as a boring city, but isn't as boring as everyone says. I mean, are you having a good time in Iowa so far? And now that finally some of these changes are going with COVID where things are starting to get lifted, are you able to go out and do anything that maybe you wouldn't have been able to do at the peak of COVID?
Yeah, it's definitely a great little city and a little town. I think I was definitely surprised getting here with the little city they have. And I'm living out in West Des Moines right now and big mall and everything like that. And there's not much to really complain about, that's for sure. But it's definitely been a big transition going from college and moving out here and all that. But I think I've done a pretty good job just kind of keeping calm and going through everything. And call my mom, help me cook and stuff like that. Things have been going well. And I mean, going out, like stuff's starting to get lifted, but we're definitely keeping it safe and doing things that are safer rather than risking it with the season coming to an end. But definitely been out and around with some of the guys and having fun. So
what's mom's advice been, or what's her recipes that she shared with you then? And what can you cook extremely well that you're pretty proud of?
I wouldn't say extremely well.
It's edible. I mean, that's well, the point, right?
It's good. Just a couple different chicken dishes that she makes. And other than that, I don't get too crazy. So
are you living by yourself or are you rooming with any other teammates?
I'm rooming with Nick Swaney that got here a few days after me, which has been pretty nice just going through it with him and being on the same page and stuff like that. It just, it makes things easier when you got someone with you to look out for each other and just kind of be going through the same thing and be able to talk about it. So
did you get to talk to him about the 5 overtime game and his tournament experience, which was a little bit different?
Yeah, I know that game was crazy, but a little bit. He said it was insane. And I'm sure he had an absurd amount of minutes played in that game.
Well, as you kind of get adjusted to your new lifestyle here, who have you found yourself kind of leaning on more? Is it the younger guys like you who are just getting into the AHL and starting this new life? Or is it some of the vets in the league who've been through this and can give you all of the advice that maybe you don't even know what's waiting for you yet?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a mixture of both. Obviously, you have the younger guys that naturally you're going to be drawn to a little bit more. Just there's more to relate to and stuff like that and a little bit easier to approach. But I mean, everyone's been great to me. They've really taken care of me and made me feel really comfortable since day one. So I've definitely leaned on a couple different guys throughout our whole lineup, younger or older. It doesn't really matter. But everyone there's like looking out for me and looking out for each other and making things really easy, which has been awesome to see.
You know, right away, you had said that once you got into the AHL, you found that maybe things were a little different and you had to find a new way to score. Didn't take you long to find a new way to score, might I add. 1 goal, 1 assist in your debut. You currently have 10 points in 9 games played, averaging 1 goal per game. Pretty good. Pretty good, buddy. I got to give it to you. What have you changed in your game, I guess, to still keep with that scoring influence and to still get the assists? I mean, 4 goals, 6 assists total in those 10 points. What have you adjusted slightly, but still kept similar in your style of play?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is just going out there and playing confident. It's not always an easy thing to do, changing leagues and making that jump, but going out there in the first game and playing well and getting those bounces and getting points on the board, it makes things really easy. Just to be able to go out there and kind of play freely. I think that's when I'm at my best, when you can go out there and make plays and not worry too much about everything else that's going on. I mean, the adjustments that I've kind of make is just trying to do things a little bit quicker. I think the way I think the game, it makes it easier for me. The quicker I can make plays and the quicker I'm moving my feet, just allowing things to happen faster rather than holding on to a little bit more and putting into the hands of other people and letting them do their thing as well. So,
you know, you had mentioned obviously focusing on your team, leaning on the guys there in Iowa. But are you kind of keeping that side eye on what's going on with the Minnesota Wild, who are playing incredibly well with a lot of that youthful talent? And again, I think that's where they look to you to be a huge part of that moving forward in the future. What have you seen from the big boys, and what are you really liking and gets you excited to be a part of that someday?
Yeah, I've definitely been paying attention and watching their games when I can. They're fun to watch right now, that's for sure. It's exciting to see and to see how well they're doing going into this playoff run and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, watching them play, they obviously have a really good roster that's working really well for them. Their top two lines have been absolutely tearing it up, and power play is getting hot now. So those are the things that you really want going into playoffs. And it's definitely, like I said, super exciting watching them play. And they're fun to watch. They have all different types of players. They play hard. They play skilled. They score all different types of ways. And like I said, it's just exciting to see and knowing that there's a chance to be a part of that eventually and whenever that time comes and all that. But it's fun to watch, and they're playing so well right now.
What do you think of Kirill Kaprizov?
He's not too bad.
That's right? Sure.
He can play hockey. Everything he does is just, it's incredible to watch, really. I think the way he skates and how strong he is, and he's making plays all over, and it's a blast to watch.
Does he keep and continue to impress you? I mean, I think even his teammates are like, every night it is something new. I know for me too, I'm like, he's good, and I'm always like, oh my God, like what else can he do? Like, I can't imagine. Is that kind of how you feel watching him too?
Yeah, exactly. I think, I've played with a ton of really good guys, super skilled, guys that can skate unbelievable, and seeing him put it all together, it's definitely something special.
Well, you know, this Minnesota Wild roster, including Kirill Kaprizov here, as we mentioned, has been doing really well. But if they find a spot they need to fill come maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, playoff time, and Matt Boldy gets the call, what is the first thought that's going to roll through your mind?
I'm not sure. Obviously super excited. I hope that time comes, but like I said, if it doesn't, it doesn't, and all that. But I don't even know, that'd be a dream come true. Like I said, you grew up waiting for that moment, and for it to possibly happen soon, it's exciting, and you kind of wait for it. But I mean, I hope it happens, but there's really not much say that I have in it. So
I mean, you get to say yes, right? When they ask, like, when they tell you, yeah, like, oh, yeah, sure, we'll do that. Are you ready for the solo lap?
I had one here, so I had a little practice one, I guess we can call it. But it was a little intimidating, a little scary. I definitely wasn't turning too quick or trying to too hard. I just didn't want to fall and be that guy, but it was good. Yeah.
I imagine it would be very nerve-wracking to make your NHL debut at any point in time. Playoffs, maybe a little bit more, wouldn't you say? I mean, would you feel a little bit of added pressure if that's your debut instead of maybe one of the four remaining games that the Wild have here during the regular season? How would you feel about that?
Yeah, it'd definitely be a little bit different. Obviously, the playoff games are a little bit more intense and a lot more energy and a more physical game and kind of a more all-around game. But, I mean, I'm not going to be complaining no matter what, so...
And I mean, no pressure, but the Wild haven't made it out of the first round in a very long time. So if you could come in and help them with that, that would be great.
I'll do my best.
Well, Matt, thank you again so much for checking in with us. We absolutely love watching you tear it up down in Iowa and very much look forward to a debut whenever that can be. I do love how humble you are and how ready and willing you are to sit back and wait your turn. But I know plenty of fans are very eager to get some Matt Boldy jerseys rocking at the XL Energy Center. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is producer Fred. I just want to ask everyone to go out there and spread the word about Bar Down Beauties. Leave us a like, share, thumbs up, review, you name it, we want to hear from you. Find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and of course, your favorite podcast app.
We're back. Thanks again to Matt Boldy. Gotta love that kid. Like, he's so humble and gracious and patient. Like, I think that's gotta be really hard to be patient with your development? I mean, obviously it's worked out for him his entire career, but as you see your buddies getting in the show and you hear that your name is being talked about so highly regarded, it's got to be hard to be patient, but he certainly seems to be handling that pressure very well.
Yeah. And if you guys, I know Jesse and I, we kind of talked about this after the interview last night, but if you guys haven't checked it out yet, we did interview him back in, what was that, December or January, we talked to him. And I was telling Jesse, I was like, you know, even though we've only ever talked to him one other time, it already felt more comfortable and he seemed more comfortable in his own skin in talking about his game that second time around than that first one. Still a great interview. It was back around World Juniors time, if you guys want to check that out. But yeah, it's fun to see him kind of grow into his own skin. And Jesse, you made the comment, you're like, he's probably done a lot more interviews in that time since signing his pro contract and all of that. So he's probably a little more used to it now than he was about 4 months ago.
No, I'm excited for whenever he gets to come up to St. Paul and show us his stuff and see how he fits into the group and can really help contribute on the production side. So thanks again to him. Thanks to Joe O'Donnell for helping us hook that up. Obviously, keep an eye on the Iowa Wild as they make their own push into the AHL playoffs here. Up for debate, Alexis. Insufferable fan bases. I don't know how you came up with some of these. I mean, obviously some of them I do, but what was your decision making behind selecting, was it Chicago, Dallas, and Pittsburgh?
Correct. Yes. And it was tough to pick because a lot of you really be getting on our nerves all the time. And Jesse, I know you kind of brought up the idea. We were tossing around some team names or fan bases, and those were the three I ended up going with. I feel like Chicago, just because they've tortured the Wild in the playoffs, that's it. And they've had Kane and Taves and other great names throughout history. They're pretty insufferable. Dallas, I would say, is more specifically insufferable to Minnesota fans because of the North Stars beef. Like, I don't think other fan bases probably find the Dallas Stars fans really annoying, but I think
Tampa does. Like, I see a couple, like, Tampa really doesn't after like last them. Year. They can be, like, I think there's some animosity brewing there a little bit.
Yeah, so I was like, you know, maybe other teams' fan bases find them annoying, but Minnesota fans specifically, we always got beef with Dallas.
Especially as forever. Of late.
Yeah, especially as of late. Yeah. Maybe it was just a little recency bias in my own brain for putting them in that one. And then last but not least, Pittsburgh, they're just, I feel like everyone will agree with that one because like they have had superstar after superstar after superstar. And it's like, okay, let's just calm down. Just like hold your horses. Everyone settle down. We get it. You've had some superstars. You don't need to rub it into the rest of us. But yeah, those were the three that I went with. I suggested Golden Knights. I think they're a little too cocky fan base for their own good right now.
I feel like you can't really have a Golden Knights fan base though, right? Like, I don't know. Like, I think that's the truth. I was like, I don't know. I think Colorado has been real. Like, I don't get them as much, but I know Michael Russo talks about how awful the fans are to him, like how he has to block on literally Twitter, every Avalanche fan because they're just ruthless.
See, I feel like with Colorado, and maybe this is just me, but like they're on opposite ends of the spectrum. Like there's the really, really good ones who are like reasonable and they're like, yeah, like we've got good players, but like whatever. And then there's the like Nathan McKinnon, Dale McCarr, we're the best, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, all right, you guys need to calm down. The rest of you can stay.
True.
But yeah, and Wild have had some really good playoff series with Colorado. So I think Wild and Minnesota or Minnesota Wild and Colorado Avalanche fans get at after each other. But yeah, those are kind of the three that I went with. I the funniest part about this tweet that we put out, which Jesse, I know you saw this too, was the guy who was like, what about Minnesota fans? And then he was like, oh wait, you're a Minnesota podcast. Yeah. He's like, never mind.
My bad.
And I will say this, like the thing about calling fan bases insufferable and like being annoyed with fans, I truly don't think that you can say Minnesota Wild fans are insufferable. We have nothing to brag about. Like how?
Yeah, but we like to brag about how awesome we are. And that's just Minnesotans in general, right? Like it'll be very passive aggressive. It's like, well, yeah, but you have a Minnesotan on your team. Or how about the Mighty Ducks? Like we're super cocky when it comes to hockey, right? True. We have every goddamn right to be because we're very good at hockey in this state.
But when it comes to like accolades, like we're like, yes, we have one division that we won. And then if you'll notice, we have our fan of 18,000's banner hanging. So shout out to that.
Yeah.
But no Stanley Cups, not even a Stanley Cup appearance. We don't have any players who have, you know, jerseys retired or anything. And it's just like Kirill Kaprizov is truly the first like superstar that the Minnesota Wild have had. And so it's like, when people say that Wild fans are annoying, I'm like, how? Like, what do we even complain? Like, we are swimming in our own misery. You can't but say that, we're annoying.
Right. We just don't have a leg to stand on, but we're still going to try to be like better than you, I think, sometimes. So I suppose I could see that. Like, I said, my favorite chirp I heard back from somebody when I was talking about the Calder, and it was a Dallas fan. He's like, don't you have a first round to go lose or like whatever?
Oh, no. That's
yes. Well done. Well played, fans. That's what's so great about being fan bases.
Yeah.
I would say out of those three options, again, of Dallas, Pittsburgh, and Chicago, I got to go Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago's the one that you'll always see. And I think it's because one of my good friends is from Chicago. Like, he'll always wear his Blackhawks jersey to any Wild game, even when they're not playing the Blackhawks. I'm like, we're not even playing Chicago. Like, take that off. You look like an idiot. Like, I hate people wearing jerseys that have nothing to do with the team's playing.
Yeah.
Except a Mighty Ducks jersey, because that's cool.
Well, that's acceptable.
Yes. Yeah. But so I got to go Blackhawks. What do you think?
I probably would have to go Blackhawks too, just because like as a child, they like tortured me. Like, I hated the Detroit Red Wings for a while. That I had a lot of beef with the Red Wings, until they moved into the Eastern Conference, because they tortured the Wild. And then Blackhawks fans, when they won those three cups in 5 years, I was like beside myself. Yes. I was like, I need to see a therapist. Like, I'm not okay. Like, Blackhawks fans are already too cocky. They've got Kane and Taves. Now they've got three cups in 5 years. I literally can't say anything to them. They'll have a comeback for everything. And so they, to me, are the most insufferable fan base. But I do think it's, you know, as they've kind of gone through their rebuild, I've started to shift away from like despising them.
You know, I wish we could play them more like this year, because I could just chirp. I'm like, you guys suck. Like, you're not good at all.
With Did Kane and ever... Taves still. Well, Taves isn't playing right now, but yeah.
Did you hear the... Blackhawks song that came out? You were young, because I was still a senior in college when they won in 2010.
Oh God.
It's a song about how nobody knew about the Blackhawks and nobody gave a shit until they had won. And it goes, we love the Hawks and we always love the Hawks. We just learned about the Hawks this year.
Yeah.
And like, it's so brilliant, because it does. It talks about, he's like, we don't know anything about hockey, but Chicago all of a sudden loves the Blackhawks. And it's like, I feel like a lot of those fans stuck around for a while too. That always kind of irked me. It's like, I didn't even watch hockey. Like, what are you talking about?
That was like the one thing I could say to Blackhawks fans that I had any like thing to stand on. I was like, okay, name someone from 5 years ago. I dare you. Name two people from five years ago. You can't. Like those, because they started to pop up here and there where it was like, you don't know anything about hockey.
You don't deserve to get this joy.
You can't say my team has this many cups. It's like, it's not your team. You just got here. Like, just you bide your time like the rest of us. All right.
What's icing? If you haven't checked out, go Google that. It's so funny. Like, I, again, it's very old, but at the time, and it was very catchy too. Like, it's got a really good beat. And so that was what I always say to people. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. Again, thanks for checking us out. Thank you to Mr. Matt Boldy for joining us, and the Iowa Wild for allowing him clearance to do so. Thanks as always to Talk North for featuring us on their network. Thanks to presenting sponsors, sodastick.com. Don't forget Bar Down Beauties. We'll get you free shipping at checkout on all purchases. Also shout out to Jim Beam, the official bourbon whiskey of the Minnesota Wild and NHL. So thank you to them. Better Edge, BETTOREdge.com, a free $10 when you use code BUTES. And thanks to Alexis and Fred and myself for hanging out. Thanks to obviously all of our listeners, subscribers. We're loving the comments that you guys are leaving on all these videos. They're so much fun to read and engage with. So keep that up. Obviously pop over and check out our Cues with the Buttes for even more great hockey content this week. Is that it, Alexis? You got anything else?
I was just thinking about how at some point soon we're going to have to get you cue cards if we keep getting all these things we're gonna read off at the end. We got these sponsors. We've got these plugs.
We love them all. YouTube. It's so exciting. It's so great.
You kill it, though. I'm always in awe of you once we get to this point. I'm just like, look at her go. She's just rattling them all off.
Just going. Just go. It's a trait that I like to inherit now. But and notice, shout out to daycare for not having children around to bother Jesse today.
Child care.
Thank you. So, and then thanks to those sponsors for helping me afford daycare once again. Appreciate that. That'll do it. Have a great week, you guys. Talk to you later.